Well, I appreciate your prayers today. Ask the Lord to help us. I'd like to talk a little bit about our treasure. Being totally honest with ourselves today, ask the question, what is valuable? What is truly valuable today to you? And that'll kind of set the stage for your thinking. And, you know, again, this is all predicated on the idea always that we're honest with ourselves about it. And we say, what is really important to me today? What is my treasure? And you will have to answer that, of course, for yourself. No one really can answer that for yourself. I've said it many times here, but I read a book one time, and the author was saying in that book that if you look for the gauges, one of the gauges he was talking about was, as I said, when the day's ended and duties are done and you stop, you get quiet, your mind will typically run to your treasure. You'll know what the most important things are doing in your life at the time. And he was talking about if you stop in the course of your day and you get quiet and you relive that moment when you reeled in the big fish, or you relive that good sale that you was in, or if you in your mind are calculating digits on a financial chart and you're doing that, you're probably allowing your mind to gravitate to the things that's most important to you. So what is your treasure today? It's very important in our lives, I think, because it dictates our life. We'll get the scriptures that'll prove that. But I'd like to start with a scripture in Matthew 19. 19th chapter of Matthew, 16th verse, says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." This is an interesting passage. We've looked at it many, many times. Never looked at it exactly like this before, I don't think. But he asks a question and says, what good thing? What good thing shall I do? You know, that has been one of the cheapest, one of the most inaccurate ways of looking and living for God over the ages that people do. There is a lot of people. I knew someone that told me years ago. He told me, he was telling me he had gotten saved and was living for the Lord and was pursuing that. And he told me about his upbringing. And he told me in his upbringing, he was brought up into one of the nominal churches. And his mom and dad were very devout to that church. And he told me what it meant to be devout to that church. And what it meant to be devout to the church was that you made sure that you were there so many days a month and that you gave tithes of all that you got. And that was devotion to the church. What good thing must I do to be a member? What good thing must I do to have eternal life? This is the good thing that they promoted. You need to be faithful to come and listen to the service, no matter how stale it is or how dry or how exciting or how good. You're obligated to that goodness, and you're also obligated to the goodness of giving a tenth of what you get in every way you do it. You're obligated to give that, and if you do that, you are considered in good standing, and surely your eternal home will be will be rewarded to you if you do those good things. So he comes to him with a notion and saying, what good thing can I do? I'm going to tell you the truth about it. Sometimes that good thing that we're thinking about is the cheapest and easiest thing that you can do. Sometimes that's the best thing, the easiest way to do it. There have been those that have suggested that we want to get someone that is qualified. We want to get somebody that is competent to be able to lead us. And then that way, all I have to do, and I can have a confidence in him, I have enough confidence in this person that when I get to a decision that I need to make, I'll go ask him. And that's easy. Or I'll pick up the phone and I'll make a phone call. Pastor so-and-so, what should I do? Here's the situation. And the pastor tells you what to do and you do it. And that's the easy way to do it. What good thing must I do that I'm going to be counted faithful in this whole thing? There's more to it than that. So what good thing, he says. Jesus says, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt not do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Now, I believe that there's certain unwritten things here that we can assume, and I think we can accurately assume it. I ask for the liberty of it if the Bible doesn't say it. But I can assume to say that this man wouldn't have made the approach to Jesus at all had he been satisfied in his own soul. I think if he had been satisfied and everything would have been going well, I think that he wouldn't have come. So the assumption would have to be that there was something going on in his life. I was looking to see if it said much about the account of this man. We call him the rich young ruler. I'll take that on for this reading, even though it really doesn't say that. But he was a rich young ruler, and somewhere in his life he got to longing for something, needing for something, and he had a lot. He was rich. He had those things. And yet he come to the Lord, and when the Lord taught him to keep the commandments, and he had recognized, I've been faithful in keeping the commandments, I've not murdered, I've not committed adultery, I've honored my father and mother, I have done the best I can to my neighbors around me, I've been a fair businessman, I've done all of these things within the lines of this commandment, and yet there's something drove me to come here. There's something that I'm lacking that isn't covered by just doing the do's and don'ts, and just kind of methodically going, there's something lacking. There's something lacking here in this. And so Jesus is dealing with this man in that way, and he does say that he's young here. And it says, the young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard the sayings, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now I'm going to ask you something. What is sorrowful about great possessions? I know a lot of people that have possessions, and they're not sorry for it. I don't see somebody going out and getting their stuff and acting sorrowful about it. Sorrowful, being sorrowful don't come from having great possessions. Surely this isn't insinuating that everybody that has great possessions are sorrowful, because we know that they're not sorrowful. But as a matter of fact, people can live in the pleasures of sin for a season and be very, I mean, there is some pleasure in that. There's pleasure in gaining stuff and having stuff. And I notice around the things that are around the world and those kind of things, it doesn't make for sorrowful. Well, the things of God don't make sorrow, does it? I mean, when you give, when you're putting it all into the Lord, that don't make sorrowful. As a matter of fact, there's no greater peace that comes in life than to give your life to the Lord, to know that no matter what happens in this time world, whether it's sickness, diseases, accidents, or whatever it is, to fully give yourself over to the Lord and to know that God is in control and that God is allowing the very best is the most peaceful life that you can have. The life of surrender is the most satisfying, secured life that you can have. So how do you get to the point of sorrow? You know what this is really saying? The sorrow, the man come from sorrow? What came from sorrow was a man that had great possessions and had a great understanding and need for the place of his soul. And they wasn't compatible. The sorrow came from the fact that I have got my heart so anchored to something. I am so controlled. I've got this and it's my identity. I'm a young ruler. I'm rich, young ruler. This is who I am, and this is the very portion of my heart. This is what I think about when I'm thinking about nothing else. This is what drives me to do what I do. I've been a commandment keeper because I was raised that way. I've done those kind of things, and God has blessed me. And there was a question: what good thing must I do? There is something that's been false throughout all human history, and that is that you own something. We have a misconception. We say that for English common law, that we are allowed to own materials. It's very important for that. But in the scope of God, God doesn't claim that you own anything. You borrow God's stuff. That is the principle of God's word, is that God owns everything, and you're borrowing it. And so what great thing is it, God says, Brother Mansell, if I was hungry, would I ask you to feed me? I don't need you to give me food when I'm hungry, but it all belongs to God. All of it is God's. And so the real idea of our Christianity is if we've been given great portions of God's things, in God's mind, He's asking us what we're going to do with it. What are you going to do with my things? He calls us stewards of the planet. We're stewards of the environment. We're stewards of nature. We're stewards of the things. We can take God's creation and mess it up if we want to. We can do what we want to with it. We can also take the things that God give us that we call treasures. And we can do like this young man did. And he had these treasures. And when the Lord told him, God loved him. Jesus loved him. I think the other passage says. And he loved him and told him this. That if you, the scripture, it says here, if thou would be, I believe it says, if thou will be perfect. You ever think of perfection? Okay, this is what he's talking about. Wait a minute, we got to clarify this. The Bible term for perfection is not the true English word. The word perfect in English means it can't be improved upon. Now, there isn't an experience in God that where you're perfect in this life. You can be improved on. It can be improved. But what it means is it means complete or totally furnished. If you would be complete and totally furnished to salvation, that's what the perfection that he's asking here for. He's saying that if you'll do this, you'll not make it that way. You'll not be totally furnished. You're not going to be complete in this. You're not going to make that mark as long as your treasure. This is your treasure. And this treasure, the Lord knows, and it's still true today, this treasure competes with God in our hearts. Because living for God is always a heart matter. It is always a heart matter. And because it is always a heart matter, we're going to be influenced by things in this world if we have a heart on them. And so he tells this rich young ruler, and it caused him great sorrow, because now on one hand is my great riches and possessions and all that I've dreamed and done and my plans and all that in one hand. I've got it in one hand, and in the other hand is my soul. And now to be able to get this to where it's got to be, this has to go. Which one is more important? I ask you a question starting out for a reason. Where's your treasure? You got to say it for yourself. What is your treasure? When Jesus told him to go, this is what you do with your stuff. No. This is what you do with God's stuff that he gave you. And as a steward in this life of God's things, this is what you do. Break the hold of your heart's treasure. Let loose of that. And he tells him what to do. I don't think that he's talking about the affections of the heart that need let go, not the actual things. It would be foolish for me to stand here today and convince you all, or try to convince you all to gather up all your stuff and go do that until tomorrow we're trying to figure out how to feed you. That would be foolish, and it isn't biblical, and it isn't scriptural, but Jesus is looking at this man's life and is giving us a lesson here of where is your treasure? What is really important to me? Young man, you come here to really find out where you're at, and right here is where you're at. You've got a treasure of this earth that is competing against the treasure of heaven. I don't know, that's always been a little abstract to me, to lay up your treasures in heaven. I want an illustration or something that's a little bit tighter for me to understand that. But I do know what it means in actuality. It means what you give God will last. What you do in the name of the Lord will last. The treasure of heaven is? The treasure of heaven is actually God. That's what the treasure of heaven actually is. What we should say, what is valuable to me? God has to be more valuable to me than the things of this world. The pleasing God has to be more valuable than the things of this world. If I say I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, then that means that God is preeminent to everything that I own and have, and therefore I want to give it back to him in whatever cause and way he want me to. God has never called me to absolute poverty or not to eat or to do those things, but he has called all of us to love him and be led by him, to and be stewards of God's good things. So where's your treasure? Jesus said, treasure in heaven. I'm going to get the familiar scripture in, what is that, Matthew 6. It's in the Sermon on the Mount, I know. Six and 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Nothing lasts forever. That item, with all of its sentimental value, maybe its antique value, that sofa, that chair, that antique thing that has actual literal value to it in this world, that thing that you hold dear and all that, it's going to corrupt sometime. Nothing lasts forever on this earth. That car, that new car, well, I'll just tell you about my little red truck, okay? I wanted that truck. I remember that truck and shiny truck, and I looked at it, and the miles were so low, and the deal was so good, so I got that truck, and I had the other truck, so I licensed that truck, and it sat out in the yard, and I'd get in that truck every once in a while just to drive it. If something splatted on it, I would wipe it off. I wasn't even driving it. It was sitting in the yard. I didn't drive it for about a year and a half or something. I drove the other truck, and I'd drive this one to town or do something, and I'd wipe it in that, and there was never hardly anything in the inside. If it got in there, I'd pick it out and do all that. Well, come the day that the S10 gave it up, and I started driving this other truck, the Toyota, and it was so shiny and so new and all of those things, and there was a certain thing went along with it. I could honestly, I mean, if you guys ain't never felt this, I mean, I don't know, but I'd get out sometime and be walking in and look back at the truck. The truck looked good. Now you all have never done that, so you know, I'm enlightening you, but you know, we've done it many times with vehicles. I remember the one van we got. The first rule of it was, no eating in here. No here. A year later, we was digging French fries out of the seats. I mean, but there's this mind of value, something valuable. My truck, I thank God for the truck. I'm glad that I have it. But after a few incidences, like Dina was down here. She had walked out. She was doing something to her. And I had come in and I was backing. I went to back up. I was backing up to the wood pile, and I saw Dina, and so I was hollering and funning at Dina, and I run right into that light pole. There's only one pole in a half acre out there, and I knocked my mirror off. I bent my door, it wouldn't open, and bent that hole, got that thing in, and this is what I'm saying, the value that it once held has diminished, the bed is beat up from throwing wood in it. It's rusted underneath. I had to fix it. Rust is going to get that truck if nothing else does. The thing's going down. I took it the best to anchor ourselves on material things. To anchor it on there is going to mean a disappointment somewhere. The idea that Jesus is talking about in this passage of scriptures, that moth is going to get it. At some time, it looks shiny now. But moth's going to get it. Rust is going to get it. The hail damage is going to get it. Something's going to get it. Everything in life is that way. We hold so dear to some of these things. And after a while, the things that we held so dear to, the things that was valuable, in the process of times, they fade. And the question was always, is what are you going to do with the things that put into your control of value? How are you going to maintain the value of the things that you have? And this is what Jesus says. Invest them. Invest them. A promise of God. If you invest your things, I'll call for it at some time or not. You can use it the whole time. But the best value you'll get out of it is to give it to God who gave it to you. To sincerely say, Lord, none of these things matter. If there's a need here for this, here, take this, do this. And you'll have treasure in heaven. What is the treasure? God's the real treasure in heaven. And my relationship with Him that I'm kept going. Lord, you gave it to me, I give it back to you. You know, I really was fascinated by this. I appreciate the saints so much. But I know family would do it, but. And we are one big family, but when I first come around the saints, I had these saints around that, and one of them's still over here, but I mean, if you come along and you needed a vehicle, I mean, sometimes that's pride and joy. But you know how many trips I took in other people's vehicles? Brother Salmon just gave me the keys to his van one time and told me that I took it the whole summer. Took Brother Mark's van around on trips and stuff. He just said, here, take this. It's dependable. You'll get around in it. Wow. Brother Tony, one year, was wanting to go to Monarch, and Brother Tony come to Keys, had that Oldsmobile, I think it was. He come with that, and he, okay, here, you take our car. He said, this, really? And take your car? Yeah, God gave it to me. I'll let you use it. giving it to the Lord. Where is really our heart? When our heart really is in God, when we really are giving to God, Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Don't do it on the earth. Don't lay up for yourself treasures on this earth. In other words, use God's blessings. Use the vehicles He allows you to have. Eat the food that He lays. Be thankful for it all, but don't put your heart on that. Don't lay up treasures and get value that if I get enough stuff on this planet, you know what's going to happen to every rich billionaire in this world? He's going to die like a common man dies. He's going to die like everybody dies. There's nothing you can do with that. And at the same time, we look at the foolish and of a young man that came to the Lord and with all of his riches and all of his things, and he was young, and maybe he could project his youth and the value of his youth for so long, and yet in his youth, the Lord told him. He didn't say this to an old man. He said it to a young man. Go sell all you have and have treasure in heaven. Put your treasure and your value and your worth and all of those things over there. That's where it's all going to mean something anyway. You can't buy yourself into heaven. Of course not. You can't do something for it. But there's a reward. And it's not just buying yourself in heaven. It's protecting your heart. Yeah, I was given this by the Lord, or maybe handed down through the generations, and here it is. And Lord, the best thing I can give, I'm going to say the best thing that you can do with that is what the Lord wants you to do with it. There was a story in the book, I believe it was in George Mueller's book, and there was a situation in there of this old woman that sewed, and this was back in the ages, life wasn't like this, and to make a little bit of living and pay her rent and eat, she was a widow woman that was by herself, and she sewed, and she made enough to do that, and somewhere along the line, she come into a great big windfall of hundreds, thousands of pounds of what they call the British, and she had this money, and she got this money. And the Lord, Mueller had a need at the time, and they was praying and praying and praying for the need of this orphanage, and they was praying for it, and this woman gets this down, and this old woman brings the windfall to them and says, "The Lord wants me to give this to the orphanage." And she went back, and she sewed for a living. You say, well, maybe she should have took... I'm saying the best thing that you can do with what you have is what the Lord wants you to do with it. Not what a church system or what people, what the Lord wants you to do with it is that, God, you're valuable enough. I believe enough in you. I give to you. I give to your cause. You're laying up not on this earth. There's something here. I wish I could explain it better. There is something here about holding something and getting this and putting your heart on it that builds a treasure here, that builds it up here. And there's something about taking it and giving it away that builds up a value to what I'm striving for. I have more desire because where your treasure is, the scripture says, for where your treasure is, this is a truth that is always the truth everywhere. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If you want your heart over there, you're going to have to put your treasure over there. If I put it all here, my value, my worth, everything it is, I'm giving it to the eternal purpose of God. And there is where my heart is. And then when I get that car and it's scratched, my peace isn't gone. Now, I gave this all over there. When I have something that's valuable, that I put my heart on, and it's lost, oh, I know what I've put my heart on. I know what I've had to deal with. Maybe you've had to deal with some things. I know what I've had to deal with. We was deer hunters, always deer hunters. My daddy was a deer hunter, and boy, he raised his boys that way. I mean, me and my brother, we was just like the chip off the old block. We did it just the way Dad did it. Dad made a rule with us. We borrowed a gun for our first hunt, but after you got one, proved yourself, then Dad buy you a deer rifle. I still have my deer rifle that Dad bought me after I killed my first deer. And they was at one time, you just better not mess with that. Of all the things that you'd say that I owned, my rifle was it. It was cherished. You know, nothing ever happened to it. I still have it today. It doesn't hold any the value. I can give it away. But there was a time in my life that I had to deal with these kind of things about where is my heart about these things. And for where your heart is, or where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Sometimes when people's treasures get messed with, they find a hard way to forgive because of something that they had made valuable, had been touched, something happened. John Wesley wrote in one of his books that a friend of his in England, owned a vast, very wealthy man, and he owned a vast property of hundreds and hundreds of acres. And he wanted John Wesley to see his property because it was a brilliant property there. And so they got on horseback, and Wesley had written about it. And they rode the whole day long. And at sunset, they rose up on a rise and looked over the property. And the guy said to John Wesley, "Now, what do you think of that?" And Wesley's comment was, "Well, it'll be awful hard to let loose of. This is my treasure. This is where my heart belongs. Is this true? It's beautiful. It's fascinating. It's incredible. And it's going to be hard to let loose of." That's why he says, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth, the corruption, the floods, the things that hurt, the vandals, the conquerors. How many people have ever had land and it got took from them, and conquerors and things of life, and then where are you at? But if you willingly and with a full purpose of heart say, "Lord, you're the maker of the whole world. You give it to me. I have it. Use it, Lord, to your glory. Take my home and let it be a place for the saints. Take my things, Lord, if someone needs to use it. Take my thing. Give these things to the Lord. Don't lay up for yourself." There's so many things here that we can anchor our hearts to. Things and events and times and things and even what hobbies and the passions that we get for the things that we do. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Well, like I said, I was a deer hunter. The Lord never did tell me I couldn't deer hunt. And listen, I am not just saying that for y'all's ears. I'm telling, God never did tell me I couldn't deer hunt. But I knew there'd come a time to where I was going to be faced with the first day of deer season. You all to hunt. Now, is the first day of deer season something? You see, if you don't understand what my passion was from being raised from the time I could shoot a gun to be out there trying to get a deer and that first day of deer season and the excitement of it and the passion of it. But I know what it was, and I knew that there was going to be a day to where the Lord was going to call me somewhere, and it was all the way in my ministry before it happened that the Lord was going to call me somewhere for the first day of deer season. I told a boss one time I wasn't working the first day. I mean, I wasn't working. Fire me. Quit. I would have gave up a good, I always said if I found a girl that I liked more than the first day of deer season, I'd marry her. I mean, there wasn't no girl, there wasn't no job. And there come a time that the Lord did. I needed to be at a meeting. And it was going to be the first day of deer season. And I'm going to tell you, on the first day of deer season, I rejoiced and praised God that it wasn't the main treasure of my heart. That treasure I'd put in heaven. That is not going to be what defines me and dictates my life. I'm not going to take what God give me, life, breath, energy, and effort, and use it just selfishly for myself. Still go deer hunting on the first day of deer season. I don't do much. I mean, I don't kill nothing, but I go gently. But the Lord wants us to give Him our hearts. It isn't about the things, they're God's things. It's about the heart that we have and for what we put it on. And when I can honestly say, Lord, all that I have, I give it to You. In a sincerity, I give it to You. I am a steward of God's things. And then lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. I think that also means with our time and our efforts, that every kind word in the name of the Lord, every witness in the name of the Lord, everything that we do to help someone else in the name of the Lord, every gift we give, everything that we do in those sense is laying up. I can do it. I can do it for myself if I want to. God says, here it is. You live it, you'll be judged for it, but here it is. But you know, the strongest testimony that we can have is when, oh, to be honest with you, once a person gets real old, they can have a testimony. Once you get older and older, a lot of people look and say, well, they don't have nothing else to do, can't do nothing else, they just as well be religious. But when you're young, honestly, when you're young, and the world could look at you and say you're talented, you're strong, you could do about anything you wanted to do. And young man, when you drive all the way from Morgantown down here for Sunday service, that's what it says to everybody. When you give your time, your effort, when you say, I could have stayed up, I could have done this, or I could have went there, I could do whatever, I'm young and I could accomplish and I can do that. And when we see you here, this makes a statement to everybody that there's something there that you're saying. You're saying there's a treasure. There's something that's valuable. I remember, and I'm not trying to boast of myself, but I remember the passion and the desire. I lived over in Webster County, and that was two major mountain divides over here, and I'd drive over here, and there was a time to where it burned so strongly in me to be here for Sunday morning service. Had to know what Brother Mark was going to give us. I hadn't heard the singing. I didn't think that I'd make it through the week spiritually if I didn't come, and no amount of snow hardly could stop me. No amount of thing was. And it was because there was something burning in there. And I would come for the treasure of my heart. That was my treasure. That was the valuable thing. You couldn't have bought me off from it. You couldn't give me money for it. No, That was the valuable thing. I'm going to tell you one other story I know you've heard, but when you give it to the Lord, my sister had a candle business, and I remember saying, I'm watching her, see what she's doing. Because she had a testimony about, she went to service on Wednesday, she went to testify on service, and she had these candle parties, and she made money selling the candles and having everybody, and it was a big deal. And she had this major candle party with this person, and she was ready to be able to make probably hundreds of dollars on this candle party, and the only night she could do it was Wednesday night. Oh, I'm sitting there watching. We're going to see that. We're going to see the testimony now. She didn't have the party. She went to service. You know, I'm still telling that story, and I may tell it for a long time, because there was a treasure to her more than financial gain, more than the party, more than the get-together, more than anything else. There was a treasure that she found. And there is another scripture in, 13th of Matthew, maybe, that talks about the parable and says that the kingdom of heaven is a like unto a treasure, I think, hid in a field. And a man finds that treasure and he hides it. And he goes and buys, he pays all. He sold all that he had. That wasn't the treasure. To get this field, to own the field, if I own the field, I own the treasure in it. And there's a treasure in the field. And he went and sold everything he had to get this treasure. So today, just in closing, the question that only you can answer. What is your treasure? I heard a pastor recently say, and I believed it, simple statement. Nothing. Not wife, not husband, not job, no occupation, no houses, cars, land should influence you more than the Spirit of God does. God should be the main influence of your life. And I want to say this about this. Working for the Lord, always, the things of the Lord, it always is an effort. It's never the easy course, or rarely would it be the easy course. I saw this thing, maybe somebody else seen it too. But a man has two sons, and he tells his sons, when you get to be 12 years old, I'm going to tell you the secret of life. And so finally this eldest son gets to 12 years old, and his father sets him aside, or his son comes to him and says, "Dad, it's time. I'm 12 years old. What's the secret of life?" And his dad says, "This is the secret of life, son. A cow don't give milk." And the son was taken by that and said, "Well, what do you mean a cow don't give milk?" And he said, "Son, we live in a world where more and more people believe that a cow gives milk. They go to the store and get their milk. Everything in life is right there. If they can't work and get it, somebody will give it to them. A cow just gives milk, and a cow don't give milk. Son, you'll get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and you'll wade through the manure. And you'll go tie the tail up, and you'll get the bucket there, and you'll hobble the cow. And if you get milk, you'll work for it. You'll draw it." We live in a world where we think we got an automatic. Everything's automatic, and it's going to happen. This won't happen automatic. This happens by the determination in me saying. I'm not saying that we have control every, we don't. But God placed in our world a cow. And you don't get up in the morning with a glass of milk from the cow. There has to be an effort put in to being able to get it. Where your treasure is, there will be your heart be also. And when we start striving, and the more we are in contact with the Lord, and the more we give, and when we strive, and when we get up and do it, when you don't feel like doing it, and when you do it anyway, there'll be the reward of God in it. For where the treasure, your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You pray for me.